Good morning. We're continuing our topic of Ani Amafech Becharara when it comes to the context of Shiduchim. What does that mean? So as discussed, as we started yesterday, we're talking about when we have a boy and a girl and they are, let's say they're engaged or maybe Tanaim were signed, but it's not that there was an actual Kiddushin or Erusin, a betrothal between them. We're not talking about that. There was something, absolute commitment to get married via engagement. You tell people we're engaged or Tanaim signing a contract that the wedding will be at a certain date. We'll get into more detail starting tomorrow on what the real connection is between them and the different views. But what's very relevant for us in this discussion is somebody else, let's say another boy was interested in that girl. Is there a problem of a violation of Ani Amafech Bacharar? Now, she is not Mikudeshes to the first boy. She's not Mikudeshes to him, so she's not effectively or quasi the wife yet, at least on a deraisa level. And the question is, if number two comes and tries to steal that girl or to go out with that girl, is there a violation of Ani Hamehafech Becharara? So today we're going to introduce a concept and we're not going to apply it. And we are, Emir Jashem, going to start applying it tomorrow. This is going to be my way of introduction. So we're going to look in the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe is in Evan Ezer Siman Nun Os Gimel. And the Darkei Moshe is written by Rav Moshe Israelist, who is the Rama who wrote comments on the Shulchan Aruch when the Ashkenazic practice disagrees with the Sephardic practice. So that's who we're talking about, the Rama. Before writing his comments on the Shulchan Aruch, he actually wrote the Darkei Moshe on the tour. And there in the Darkei Moshe, he brings in the name of the Mordechai, one of the great Rishonim, that there is a Cherem HaKehilos, which is a communal Cherem, a communal decree against somebody who breaks a Shidduch. Al mi shechozer b'shiduchim, somebody who reneged on a Shidduchim, could be the boy or the girl, ve'ein lo heter, he has no permit to do that. In other words, he's done a terrible thing if he would do that. If you want to get out of a shidduch, you have two options. Number one is ela b'hataras harbe anashim. If many people permit you to do that, it sounds a little bit like the heter meira rabbanim to get out of a marriage, and that's not very commonly done, and there are serious restrictions and limitations on that. So we're going to put that aside. Or sheyiftru zetze, or that they forgive. Both the boy and the girl agree we are going to break the shidduch. So shidduch. So, in other words, what we're talking about is somebody unanimously making a shidduch, either the boy or the girl. There is a cherem; it's a communal decree to not do that—a very serious, serious thing. So we see here that indeed there is a bond, and we don't know exactly what he's talking about. That they are chozer b'shiduchim, a shidduch. Does that mean simple engagement, or that there were tanaim signed? But certainly something significant. But it is short of kiddushin. Kiddushin did not happen. So just to hash this out a little bit more, we're going to look at the Chashuki Chemet. He was asked the following question: Sheila kishenichtav b'tanaim. This is talking about a situation, the boy and the girl, they agreed to get married, and they signed Tanaim, that's the contract. We typically sign this at the chuppah, but in the chassan shtis, that it's just a formality the way we do it, because you're signing that we're going to agree to get married, and you're getting married right then. But we do continue that minug, but this was when there were Tanaim that were signed earlier, and they decided that the chassana would not be less later than a certain time. The chassana will not be no later than Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Whatever the date was, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it has to be before then. And the time has passed. And the question is the chassan obligated to start supporting his wife, to give her mezonos, to give her food? Or is he not required to do that? So he brings a Ramah in Evin Ezer, this is the Chushei Chemet, bringing a Ramah from Shulchan Aruch, talking about something a little bit complicated, and we're going to go through it. It happens to be very interesting. He says, Shibizman Azeh, nowadays, Sha'asu Lisa Shtei Nashim, that there's Cherem Durabenu Gershom. Originally, Alpi Del Raisa, it's permitted to marry two plus women, one man, multiple women, not a problem. However, Rabbeinu Gershom instituted, decreed that that should not happen. One man, one woman. And accordingly, at the time of the decree of Rabbeinu Gershom, this is the Ramah writing, approximately 500 years ago, it applies, 450 years ago, it applies nowadays as well, closer to 500 years ago, it applies as follows, Yinavla le'echad shomer esyavam. So what happens, Rachman Litzlan, we have a man, and his brother passes away childless. And his wife, the wife of the brother, we're talking about brother number one passes away and didn't have children, and his wife falls to number two, brother number two, as for Yibum. So it says there, because there is that woman who is waiting to do Yibum or Chalitza, Asur Lisa Acheres, that brother number two is meanwhile prohibited to marry another woman until he does Chalitza to his brother's wife, his brother, the widow. And the concept here is there is a Zika, there is that bond, that connection between his brother's wife, the brother passed away, and himself, now that he is obligated to do either Yibum or Chalitza. And now that we have the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, that he's only permitted to have one wife, so effectively, when he has this woman who is waiting for Yibum or Chalitza, it's a quasi-wife. And that would implicate, it would violate the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom if he went and married a different woman. So first he has to do Yibum or Chalitza. If he does Chalitza, then he can marry another woman. If he does Yibum, then he's now been married to this woman. And now the Ramah adds on. He says as follows, V'davka shelo haisa medushudechet lakor. He is prohibited, this brother number two is prohibited to marry another woman as long as he was not engaged. Mishudechet, I'm not going to say engaged, but mishudechet to another woman. Aval im haisa mishudeches lokar, but if there was already a shidduch there, that's not that they're dating. It's either that there were tanaim or they agreed to be engaged, but likely that there were tanaim signed. Mutar lekonsa, then he is permitted to marry that other woman even before he does yibum or chalitza to his brother's wife. Why is that? Why is that? That if he was mishudechet to a different woman, then he's permitted to marry her. So this is showing as follows, that there's this cheirim. Once we have this cheirim of the kihilos, that if you have a shidduch, if you are mishudechet, if a woman is mishudechet to a man, effectively there is a required obligation to move forward. There is a commitment between them, and accordingly, that prohibits him to marry, to do yibum to his brother's wife, v'hu, etc. So that's the continuing. So this is a fascinating concept here, that we do see the significance of if somebody is mishudach to a woman, it even knocks out the obligation to do yibum. He's not allowed to do yibum to the other woman, and he's even allowed to get married to the woman that he's engaged, he's not betrothed to, that he has a shidduch with, and he can do that even before taking care of his brother's wife. So the Chashuk Echemet learns as follows: Horeisha shidduchim asu osa, this shidduchim that he has, it was formalized, it was committed to, that he had before his brother passed away, so before his brother's wife fell to him for Yibum or Chalitza, that shidduchim that he has, asu osa, it makes the woman that he has the shidduch with, ki'ilu hi ishto, as if she is his wife. And there is a cheirim that was instituted by the kilos that he is not allowed to nullify that shidduch. So he has that commitment. That's a very significant thing. So based on all of that background, that's the explanation of the Ramah. The Chashuk Chaykhamed gets back to our question, how about if there were tanaim that were signed, and the date that was committed to has now passed, is the chassan obligated to give mizonos, food, to the wife? And he says as follows, based on this background, that we see that this cheirim of the kehilos, that you're not allowed to break off a shidduch once it's committed to, and it's to such an extent that we see in the Ramah, that if you have the shidduch, and thereafterward a woman, your brother's wife, falls to yibum or chalitza, you're still permitted to marry the woman that you had the shidduch with. It's as if she's your wife. That shows how significant it is. Accordingly, v'imkein yesh makom l'chayevus hachasan. Accordingly, there is a basis to obligate the chasan because he's delaying. I was talking about a situation where he's delaying the marriage. The date came, the date's passed because of him. Indeed, he could be obligated because they are mishudachim together. And we have the cheirim akilos that bonds them together, that he's obligated to move forward. It's as if she is his wife. Accordingly, he would be obligated there's certainly a basis to obligate him to pay for the food. Now, this is going to be very important. We will pick this up next time when it comes to Ani Amafech B'Chararah, because we see here that if there is a couple that they are bound together, they are, she is Mishudachet to him, he is Mishudach to her, they are Shiduchim, they are Shiduchim together, and we'll have to qualify and define what that means. That is indeed possibly a real problem if we have somebody else coming in and is interested in a girl, and the Cheirim Hakilos applies at this point. So we have a very serious issue to discuss. Is there an Ani Amachabech Becharara Shenikra Rasha? Have a wonderful day.